back to another edition of the Pegcast. I'm your host, Michael Pagani, joined alongside UBC goalie Cole Schwabius. Cole, welcome to the Pegcast. Thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
So let's just catch up here. How have you been doing recently? Last night was just a wild gold medal game. I mean, I'm pretty sure we can guarantee Mason McTavish's save will go down as the golden save. We got Crosby's golden goal. I'm sure you've made a lot of desperation saves before, but nothing compares to that last night.
No, I think not exactly on a stage like that. That was pretty surreal. Yeah, just even watching on TV, right? You kind of think the game's over and it's still going. That was something else.
Well, and I guess one thing that I forgot to mention to you off air was, so I was out at a bar with my buddies, all right? And so this bar, QB Sports, it's brutal. Like the way that it was done. So I was in the back, and so my friends and I were in the back, and so they had like 25 TVs or whatever, all right? And 10 o'clock, it's a one goal game, it's 2-1 by this time, 13 minutes left in the third period, and they paid for the UFC fights, right? Because that's kind of like their special there. So
yeah,
at 10 o'clock they start flipping like 95% of the TVs to the UFC fights, and I'm like, what in the hell is happening here? Like, do they not realize that we're in Canada? And I thought hockey kind of prioritized everything there. So we're chatting amongst ourselves, like, what's happening? Anyway, my friend John, he goes up and he, you know, tells the bartender, like, hey, is there any way you can flip on the World Juniors game? Just on, like, one of the TVs that wasn't part of the main, TVs there. Like, it was just one that was in the corner, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't take away from the big
right over the urinal.
There.
You get that one.
Yeah, exactly. anyway, so the bartender then says to him, like, I can ask my manager if I'm allowed to do that. So then we're talking like, no way, that's what just said. We kind of laugh at it anyway. So it was about 15 to 20 minutes then. And so by this time, there's still like two or three screens, but it's like smaller TVs, and you got like the large plasma ones, right?
Yeah.
And so the smaller screens are playing the World Juniors game, and the plasma ones are playing the UFC. So another table that's closer to the bar then also complains about how there's like such little hockey. Like, it's the gold medal game, and it's looking like it's going to overtime game here. I can't believe it. Yeah. So then after that second group, issues like, okay, can you turn on the World Juniors game? Then they're like, okay, yeah, now let's have another screen on this game. It was crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the UFC fight was big too, right? It was Usman, and
Usman and Edwards, and I'm pretty sure Leon Edwards won.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, still, the main draw didn't start until 12 midnight Eastern time here, right? So
yeah,
there was 2 hours difference before you could actually flip to the UFC game.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, I know. It's,
I would have been upset. I would have been upset.
Dude, there was a group of five of us, and we're just like, what? Like, what? Do you not understand like how important this game is? You know, it's wild.
Yeah, no, that's the worst. You go to a sports bar and there's like tennis.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
It's just something like that on. It's like, this is great, but, playoff game on right now.
The thing that I was mad about was like the amount of TVs that were playing UFC, and not like, I can understand maybe let's have 10 TVs switch to UFC, then like have the majority still in the World Juniors game. Then you flip the two, right? Like,
yeah,
once the World Juniors end, then it's like, okay, UFC time. That I can understand. But when you're talking about 10 o'clock and like only like the first cards going, and like it's just some like no-name fighters going, like,
yeah,
come on.
That's bad. That's bad.
That it was just terrible.
But hey, I'm glad they got it on for you though. That's
it was great because seeing that, the golden save, which I'm pretty sure is going to be unanimously remembered, I've watched that replay 100 times and I still can't understand.
I know, McTavish might need to switch to goalie, man. That was ridiculous. Pretty clutch. It's pretty clutch.
Yeah. And then I also, the one thing that goes really unnoticed in that sequence is Ronan Seely making a great play on that finished checker to get the puck loose for Logan Stankoven, who assisted on Ken Johnson's winning goal. Like that play does very, like it has a lot of totally. Impact there, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely, like you said, one of those ones that doesn't, like it kind of goes a little bit unnoticed. Like you got to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because obviously everyone's talking about McTavish and then, you know, the golden goal, but that doesn't happen if Seeley doesn't make that play. It's you know, it's just, that's the way we love hockey. It's so quick, right?
Totally, totally. And it's the little things really that make the big difference when you add it all up, right? Which is, yeah, it's that's part of the game.
What parts of your game are you working on this offseason?
Biggest thing for me this offseason going into next year has just been kind of, you know, at this point, just really refining everything, right? I mean, I think anybody who's played junior hockey and they're starting to graduate from junior hockey, their games, you know, it's at a pretty good level. And from there, it's just kind of been, you know, really perfecting just the smallest kind of aspects of it. So personally, for me, that's just been controlling my movement. You know, I'm not a huge goalie. So, you know, controlling my movement and that I'm not getting too scrambly, not getting outside my crease too often, you know, or only when I need to, right? Just being conservative with my movements and maximizing my pushes, really.
Are you more of a puck playing goalie or no?
I try to be. Yeah, I try to be a puck playing goalie. I mean, anytime you can help out the defenseman, it's huge, right? And coaches will look for that too. I mean, if there's two goalies similar level, they're going to take the one with the puck playing skills. So I try to be. I don't know how well I am in comparison to some other guys, but, you know, I'd like to think I'm decent at it.
Getting into your story a bit here, who was your biggest influence to get into hockey?
Biggest influence for hockey would definitely be my dad. I think, you know, he was a hockey fan and from a young age, you know, watching hockey on TV, and he was a Calgary Flames fan. So we watched the Flames a lot. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, he enrolled me in hockey, and I'm not sure why the position of goaltending just kind of hit me. Right. So yeah, that's that.
It's just a bit weird. You want to say pucks going 90 miles an hour, but yeah, you know, be my guest.
I know. And there's definitely been times where I've looked back on that decision and kind of shook my head a little bit, but no, it's cool, man. You know, and it's something that's definitely taught me a lot about life too, and just the way to handle different sort of pressures. And goaltending is a really unique position in that there's only one goalie in net at a time, you know, and there's two of you guys on a team. So especially throughout my junior career, it's been kind of learning how to support somebody else while also competing with them, and that's a really tough thing.
When it is during the winter season, how much time are you spending on the ODR, just ripping up the puck with the boys?
You know, during like playing time and stuff, not too often, but definitely as soon as Christmas break rolls around, there's an outdoor rink right by my house. I know me and my buddies will definitely be there this winter, right? So that's the best part of the game for sure.
You guys just play King's Court with the public, like, all right, this is our house, we are the only people that play here, anyone else has to challenge us.
Yeah, honestly, you know, sometimes there's a big pond we'll go to too, and you know, you'll shovel off, you know, several different rinks, and it's Kelowna, like I'm in Kelowna, and it's a little bit warmer here, so sometimes the rinks aren't the best quality just because of the temperature. So sometimes out in the pond, there's only a few rinks you can play on. And, you know, it's funny, there'll be me and my buddies who are all, you know, 19, 20, you know, 20 years old. And we'll be playing kids that are 13, like, all right, like King's Court here, you know, but it's fun, you know,
younger brother.
Exactly. Yeah. Like there's kids that show up and I like, they're like 12 years old, but it's fun though. Like, you know, it gets everybody together, and it's like a healthy kind of thing, you know? And then sometimes we'll split up the teams too, right? So we all get to play, you know? So it's good.
When you do shovel off the ice, but like, are you the one that forgets the shovel? Like there's always that one guy.
No, you know, I like to think I'm pretty prepared, but we're pretty good. And, you know, the ponds we'll go to, they're kind of neighborhood communities. Oh, and there's okay, usually, good, yeah. There's usually people that live there, and they'll leave out some shovels for the boys.
Oh, that's huge.
Oh, it's so huge. They'll leave a couple nets too, and you know, we'll bring our own nets sometimes, but it's nice when that stuff's already there. It's just one less step, you know.
Was there a goalie growing up who you wanted to model your game after?
Yeah, for sure. So for me, obviously, like I said, my dad's a big Flames fan. So for me, it was Mika Kiprusoff. He was kind of, that was my guy to start off. And recently in the past few years, I've looked to a guy like UC Saros off Nashville. Yeah. He's just, he's amazing. He's like, he's incredible. So that's kind of, now that's kind of somebody who I try and model my game after. But starting off, Kiprusoff, he was the guy. And oh, quick.
100%. And like, yeah. UC Saros is insane, you know, and I think that was basically the main reason why Nashville lost in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how good he is, man. And, you know, I heard a stat that he leads the NHL in chess saves.
Oh, that's a very interesting stat.
Totally, yeah. I don't know how, like I said, I just heard this stat, but I mean, I don't know who would make up something like that. But yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, he's a small goalie, but he plays so positionally well to be able to, you know, move into every shot like that is just remarkable. His reads are second to none.
He plays big, right?
Exactly. And, you know, for a guy of his size, like, I don't think he's even broke 6 foot. I'm pretty sure he's 5'11". Like,
mentioned that you're in Kelowna there. I want to mention the 2010 Olympics because they were just a few hours away there. Did you ever kind of, do you have any memories of those?
Yeah, so they had, totally. That was obviously for Canada. That was pretty special. No, they had the torch passing, you know, they did that and they came through Kelowna and I forget who they had, but there was somebody that passed the torch through Kelowna and that was a really big thing. The whole community came out and yeah, I think I was, you know, I was only like, I don't know, 10 years old at the time or whatever, but that was pretty special for sure. And then obviously seeing, you know, Team Canada win that with Sidney Crosby's goal, like that was amazing, man.
Yeah, exactly. And it would just be memories that we will always remember where we were, what, you know, like what we were doing, right?
Totally. No, I remember calling my buddy back and forth. We each had our Team Canada jerseys on and we were both super superstitious, right? So I'd phone them up and, you know, if Team Canada got down, it's like, hey, you still have your jersey on? No, I took mine off. Okay, me too, you know. And we were kind of coordinating it, right? Because we, I don't know, we thought it'd help somehow, but.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's little things like that, right, that, you know, stick with you.
So getting into your career part here, you played with the Okanagan Rockets, which is actually a very good developmental program for a lot of WHL players that go through it, and you had the chance to do so. How did they help with your development?
Yeah, so I did a few years at the Okanagan Hockey Academy before going there, which is, again, another kind of academy type league, which was awesome. And then I went to Okanagan Rockets, which was, it was nice. It was my hometown, right? You know, I got to live at home. And it was great. I think the year I played there, we had 7 or 8 guys that were signed with CHL teams, like Western League teams. And it was ran pretty much like a major junior team. You know, we'd go to school in the morning and then around, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, we'd go to the rink, we'd practice and we'd have a workout most days. So in that sort of sense, it was like a Western League kind of program. And then on weekends, we were always traveling, whether to Vancouver, you know, Prince George, all over BC. So, it was great. And then just having, you know, I think it was really big too. We had a really good team with a bunch of different, you know, really good players on it who were always getting called up to their Western League teams and calling down. And, you know, just being in that environment around those type of players was pretty huge.
It seems like it really helped you get set up with the traveling. And I think that's a major part there when you're first entering into the WHL is, or even any junior league, is just the amount of travel you have to do.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think that's something especially super unique to the Western Hockey League. You know, I have friends that have played, you know, in the OHL and, you know, leagues over there, and it's, you know, they'll say they had a 4-hour bus trip and that was long. And it's, you know, we'd go on, you know, our Eastern road trip to Brandon is like, it's like 22 hours to Brandon my first year from Seattle. Right. So
yeah,
that was insane, you know, and that's like 2 days driving straight and then you work your way back. Right. So, you definitely learn pretty quick, especially being in school, your time management wise, you know, and learning how to balance that kind of schedule with hockey. And then, you know, I joke with guys too, you learn how to fall asleep in a bus.
Yeah, you really do.
Oh, you do. You know, the floor becomes a very comfortable place. it's
it
pretty.
It's your second bed.
Honestly, though, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, you almost develop that skill of napping, which is kind of, you know, it's not really a skill you'd think you'd develop, but definitely something that you learn to do.
Let's talk about that first year in the Dub. You get drafted by the Thunderbirds in the 2016 draft. You know, how big was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, growing up Western Canada and especially living in a place like Kelowna, the Western Hockey League's kind of was around me from a young age. So to play in the Western League was a huge goal of mine. And in that Bantam year, because we have the Bantam draft. I know it's a little bit older in Ontario, but that year, you know, I was a little bit undersized. I wasn't sure if I was going to get taken, but I, you know, still worked pretty hard. I got a few emails from teams, but it was one of those things where I kind of decided, okay, you know what, if it happens, that's great. If not, okay, this isn't the end of it. Keep working, because I know a lot of kids get discouraged from that kind of draft, because it is a pretty big deal, right? It's yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. But no, so I got taken, I think pretty late. It was 10th or 11th round, something like that. And yeah, I mean, that was really special for me. Awesome. And then to go to training camp and stuff that year too, and practice with guys that are playing, you know, major, junior, that were, you know, had NHL contracts. Like, I think Keegan Kolesar was there my first year, Ethan Bear, like some big names, right? That were, it was really cool to be on the ice with those guys for sure.
How did you adjust to the, I guess, moving away part? Because you would have moved away at such a young age.
Yeah, so I was 17 when I moved away for that first year there. And honestly, I mean, I'm the type of guy, it wasn't too bad for me. And you know, Kelowna to Seattle is only 6 hours, so it wasn't a huge time distance. Like, my parents still could come up. I'd see them, you know, once every month up until Christmas. And then I got, you know, a week with them. So it was okay. I adjusted fine with it, but there were definitely some points in the season that weren't going as well. Just jumping to major, junior. And then it was a little bit tough not to, you know, have my parents there, I guess, you know, it's different. Right. But even that was a really good learning curve for me, and something that I, you know, I'm thankful for looking back.
100%. And when we talk about, I guess, learning curves, you know, when an opportunity does present itself, how do you make sure that, you know, as a goalie, young age, how do you make sure that you kind of run away with it and show the coach, like, hey, this is what you have in me?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing about goalies, right? You've seen so many guys that have been successful with, you know, just that kind of one opportunity, right? So, you know, what I'd say to even like younger goalies and stuff is really just, you just have to go out and play. I mean, the way I look at it is, if you kind of just play in the moment and you just kind of go, whatever happens, happens, really. And, you know, if you don't do as well as you'd want to, it's okay, because you're still, you know, you're still doing your best, right? So yeah, if that's the case, then it really wasn't meant to be. And, you know, maybe you'll get another opportunity, maybe not. But I mean, the worst thing you would do is get in your own head, and then, you know, you're beating yourself before you even get on the ice, right? And that's, you know, that's the biggest part, especially goaltending, right? To overcome, and something that I've, like, you know, tried to overcome and stuff as well. It's definitely a learning curve, right? And it comes with age, and it comes with, you know, growing up, I think.
The more experience you get, the better, right?
Yeah, I think so. Totally. I mean, whether in games or just, you know, being on different teams, meeting different people, for sure. I think more experience is better. There's far and few in between who can come in and, you know, do well without that experience. But I think there's kind of a flip side to it too. I've met goalies who are, you know, they're pretty naive. They don't really understand the pressure, or, you know, they just don't comprehend it the same way somebody else would. And so they go in there so loose, so, you know, not uptight, and they play amazing from it. You know, and it's almost their lack of experience that makes them good, which, yeah, it's weird, but.
You made the playoffs in your rookie year. What was most memorable from that run?
I think the biggest thing I took from that was the way the organization prepared for that. It was really cool. It was a warlike mentality, you know, and we spent the whole week leading up to playoffs doing video scouting, you know, even our practices, they were all revolved around, like, I think we played the Giants. It was all revolved around the Giants systems and how they play, right? So just how intense and in depth it was, I think that was something, you know, I took from that. I was like, wow, okay, this is how a professional team would go about this. And that was really cool.
It must have been a complete eye-opener, because obviously before that, you would have never really done as much research, as much planning for a playoff series like that.
No, totally. It was definitely, I mean, yeah. And exactly right. It was a huge eye-opener for me. Yeah. And just like I said, the intensity and just how it was almost like it was business, you know, it was the job that needed to get done. It was a little bit less like, okay, hockey, you know, fun. It was more, you know, we still had fun, but it was just that added kind of, I don't know the word for it, but intensity, the added intensity to it, right?
As a goalie, how important is it to clear, you know, your mind after a loss, or make sure that you don't get on a winning high where I guess it really does affect your play?
Totally. I mean, it's like that, honestly, I think that's, what separates the good goalies from the elite goalies. I mean, you look at a lot of goalies, especially the goalies playing pro right now from the East Coast up to the NHL, aside from your, you know, your freaks of nature like Markstrom or Demko that are, you know, 6'5" and unbelievable. Like most goalies can stop the puck. And I think what really separates those guys is your ability to let go and your confidence in yourself and your ability just to kind of not care what anybody else thinks and focus on the moment. And yeah, like you said, games, obviously letting those go, but even in, you know, even during the game, right? A big save, you can't let that get you too high, or a bad goal, right? That kind of stuff is, you know, it's crucial because like next shot could be the difference maker, right?
You just got to have a goldfish memory, move on to the next, right?
Exactly. And that's, it's tough. It is tough sometimes, but like we kind of talked about earlier, I think it's something that comes with growing up, comes with playing, you know, games, and then kind of realizing, okay, like this isn't the end all be all. Like even if I mess up and play the worst game of my life today, like I'm still going to be playing hockey tomorrow, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's probably one of the best approaches you can have.
Exactly. Like you can't be preparing to lose, but you almost need to have that confidence that, like, okay, you know what? If I play absolutely terrible today, it doesn't affect how good I am, you know? Because I've fallen into the trap before too of, you know, you're only as good as your last game. And if you have a bad game, you know, it can rag on you for a long time. And I think the best goalies don't let it. The best players in general, right? They have this unwavering belief in themselves, regardless of what happened last, you know?
One of the bigger things that happened in your Dub career was getting traded to Kelowna back home there. How did you find out about that?
Yeah, it was weird, man. That was it was the day of the Bantam draft. So going into that week, I had a feeling something could happen. I obviously, you know, didn't know for sure, but Seattle had a goalie a year older than me at the time who you know, was looking to get taken in the draft, and then he was taken in the draft. So I kind of had a feeling, okay, you know, they might move me because there's not going to be a ton of opportunity in Seattle. And I got a phone call at like 7 a.m. and it was our GM, and I picked it up and it was still half asleep. And he's like, hey, yeah, just, you know, thanks for everything. You're going to Kelowna. Like, wish you all the best. Goodbye. I'm like, all right.
I kind of like, let me go down back to sleep and let me wake up.
Yeah. Cause I think I was up pretty late the night before too. Yeah. I kind of like put my head back down. I was like, what? Like, what just happened, man? Like, all right. And I mean, it was obviously super exciting though. We were supposed to host the Memorial Cup and, you know, my hometown team kind of felt like everything was kind of coming together. So that was super special. It was really sad. Like I had a lot of really good friends in Seattle. So that part did kind of suck, but no, it was super exciting. Like I said, my hometown team, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Just to,
and then COVID had to come and cancel the hosting. Like, thanks.
Yeah, that was a real tough balance.
I mean, let's just talk about that for a quick sec. What were your feelings when you saw that news that, you know, your hometown team was not going to host the Memorial Cup?
Oh, man, it was just that whole 2 years was really tough. I mean, I know it was tough for everybody, obviously.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, no, having that, it was weird in that, in the sense that it never seemed real. Like, even that whole year playing on my, you know, hometown team, we were going to host the Memorial Cup. I was playing pretty well too, you know, so thinking, okay, you know what, maybe I could push for the starting job going into playoffs. Like, there was just so much, you know, kind of going in the right direction. And, it was almost like, I didn't even believe that we were also going to host the Mem Cup. You know, so yeah. When it got canceled, finally, it was kind of like, okay, it didn't really seem real to begin with. So, but I mean, looking back, it did. It was pretty tough. It was hard, for sure.
Especially seeing how like this season just played out, right? It's like, all right, so the Memorial Cup was hosted for the first time in a couple of seasons. That we were in those shoes. That could have been us.
Yeah, no, pandemic happened. I can't lie. Watching it on TV, it was tough.
Yeah, I know. 100%.
No, I didn't watch a whole lot of the games for that reason. But yeah.
Looking back on your junior career, what are you going to take from it?
I mean, biggest thing, looking back on my career, there's some things that didn't really go my way. But I think the biggest thing I learned was kind of just controlling what I can control. Because I think looking back, there's a few things that, you know, were kind of out of my hands that, you know, whether I deserved it or not, kind of happened. And it's frustrating. And there's definitely times when I let that determine my, you know, confidence or, you know, how I felt about myself, even as a person, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that was just, you know, growing up really fast. You know, it happens in the workplace all the time. People, you know, don't get picked for jobs, don't get this, don't get that, right? And I think for me, learning that at a pretty young age, just the way things kind of work, not in your favor sometimes, you know, it is a good lesson to learn. And then just being able to, you know, stay with it and keep working hard and controlling what you can control, you know.
Moving forward, you're going to UBC for their hockey team, of course. You know, hockey's such a small world because it looks like you're going up against your best friend Boiler there next season. how excited are you to match up against him?
I'm super excited. Yeah, no, it's cool. And it's cool in the sense too that I've got a few other buddies that are going all over Mount Royal. They're going to University of Calgary. So it's funny in the sense that it's all the same guys I've kind of played against and grew up with. And now we're just kind of still all playing against each other, just at a bit of a different level, right? So definitely excited. And then just for me going to university too, I'll be reuniting with some old teammates and then some guys that I played against growing up, which is pretty cool too.
It's such a small circle. Like, it's such a small world hockey is, right? Like,
yeah,
you just never know who you're going to match up against. Like, oh, hey, I played against you. I played with you. Right. Like, look at where we are now.
100%. And it's one of those things, you know, you walk into a dressing room and you don't know anybody and chances are you'll find somebody who knows somebody that you do, right. You'll have a mutual friend or something like that, which is, it's pretty cool. And usually most guys are pretty good guys. So it's cool to meet all those, you know, different type of personalities.
How come you decided to go to UBC?
For me, you know, the education was amazing. They've got a great program there. And it's also just so close to home, you know, 4 hours. It's in Vancouver, which the city of Vancouver is really cool too. And the hockey program there is awesome. You know, I think it's looking like this year we got a really good chance for a national championship. So that's super exciting. And I'm super excited.
As we close off this interview here, do you have any advice for aspiring goalies?
I think the biggest thing, really, it sounds super cliche, but just make sure you're having fun with it. I know growing up for me, I got super, you know, I almost took it too intense sometimes, which was, you know, double-edged sword. I think it helped me to a point, but at some point, you know, you just got to go out and compete and stop the puck. And I think if you work hard and you show up and you do your work every day, you know, you'll get to the level you want to be. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be some setbacks, You're not going to have the best day every day, but if you consistently show up and work, then you'll get to where you want to be. So
I'd like to thank again Cole Schwabius for joining me on today's podcast. Thank you again, Cole.
Thanks for having me, man.